Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, page 61 in your pew Bible, which Exodus 20, of course, is the Ten Commandments. You may recall that when Christ was asked for the greatest commandment, he summarized them as love God and love neighbor. The first four commandments are at least part of what it means to love God, and the next six are what it means to love your neighbor. We're on commandment four this morning, which is about the Sabbath, which is interesting that many of the commandments, if you recall, will start off with thou shalt not. And there's some thou shalt nots in this as well, but the main message here is thou shalt rest. Why is it that we need to be commanded to rest? Seems like we do that pretty well on our own, but it's the way we rest, I think, is what we'll see this morning. So Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Some days are unlike any other. There are certain days that stand out in your memory, that stick with you through years or even decades. For me, February 14th is one such day. And not just because it's Valentine's Day, but because for my wife, Lauren, and I, it is our engage-iversary, which is the anniversary of our engagement. 4 years ago, this past Wednesday, in a park in the middle of Denver, Colorado, I proposed to Lauren, and thankfully she said yes. And ever since then, February 14th just hasn't been the same for me. Something is always different that day. Any time that day rolls around, I can't help but relive certain parts of that day in my memory. I can't help but remember a couple of days beforehand when I called her dad on the phone and asked him if I could marry his daughter. And thankfully, he too said yes. I can't help but remember the odd mixture of anxiety and excitement that builds up as you're getting ready to ask someone to marry you. I can remember very clearly driving in the car with her to the park and wondering if she could see the outline of the ring box in my pocket. And apparently she could. And more than anything else, I can remember the look in her eyes, the sound in her voice when she said yes. Some days are like that. They stick with you. They change your life forever. And I'm sure that all of you have days that are kind of like that, days that stand out from the rest, days that you remember as special, days that no matter what has happened in the year leading up to that, they're always different somehow. Whether it's an engagiversary or an anniversary, whether that's a birthday or a holiday that's special for you, there are certain days that just stick with you. They sink down into your soul because of what you remember about that day, because of what it commemorates, and because of the way that you set it apart as different from the rest, the way that you celebrate that day. And for us, the fourth commandment, the command to remember the Sabbath, is kind of like that. In this commandment, we see that we are told to set apart a day as different from the rest, to have a day every week that is unlike the rest of our days. The fourth commandment reads, remember the Sabbath day in order to keep it holy. Now, remember was one of the most theologically loaded terms in the Jewish vocabulary. Way back in Genesis 6, after God has flooded the earth and wiped out every living being save Noah and his family and the animals that they managed to cram on board the ark, for 150 days, water has covered the earth. And then it says that God remembered Noah, and he sent a strong wind across the earth, and the waters receded, and the ark came to rest on a mountain. A number of chapters later, we read that as the Israelites are groaning under slavery in Egypt, God hears their cries and he remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he sends Moses to go and deliver them. To remember is to call something to mind and to act in accordance with that. It always has to be that two-step process, by the way. If I vaguely recall to mind that something special happened on February 14th, but I don't actually do anything different that way, I forgot our engageversary, and I did not remember our engageversary. And to remember something means to recall it to mind and to act in accordance with that, to do something different on that day. Remember the Sabbath day in order to keep it holy, in order to set it apart from the rest, in order to separate it out from the rest of your days specifically for God's purposes. That's what it means to set something apart as holy, or to keep something holy. It's kind of like if you have an apple tree in the back of your yard and you spend all day collecting apples from it. You've got bushels and bushels of apples coming out of the tree, and you use all of those apples to make applesauce, except for one bushel, which you set aside as special, as different from the rest, to enjoy on your back porch while soaking in the afternoon. That's what it means to set something apart as holy, to separate it out from other similar items, specifically for God's purposes. And the way that we do that is by not doing the one thing that we do every other day of the week. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Work is supposed to encompass 6 days of our lives. 6/7 of our lives revolve in one way or another around work. The Sabbath is to be different. And when he says work here, what it means is any kind of productive labor. It doesn't just mean the thing that you do roughly 40 or 50 hours a week in order to gain a wage, although it does include that. But it also includes all the other stuff that goes into making life livable. It includes all of the grocery shopping that you have to do, all of the cooking, all of the cleaning, all of the dishwashing, all of the doing of laundry, all of the yard work, car work, housework, all of the stuff that goes into making life livable, all the things that characterize roughly 6/7 of our lives. On the Sabbath day, you're supposed to lay that stuff aside. Cease. Rest. And throughout history, there have been roughly two polar opposite ways of doing that wrongly. Way out on one end of the spectrum is legalism, is this idea that we can quantify the Sabbath, that we can control the Sabbath, and that we can figure out precisely how many steps you can take on a Sabbath day without it counting as work. This idea that we can figure out exactly how many candles you can light on a single day without it counting as work. This idea that maybe you can play board games with your family, but you can't play sports because sports would involve running, and running might at some point come around to constitute work. This idea that we can control the Sabbath, that we can figure out exactly what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath and put precise, exacting boundaries around that. And way out on the other side of the spectrum is this idea of the Sabbath as a day for self-indulgence, for doing whatever we want, a day for enjoying time to ourselves, the idea of taking time to just pour into all of our desires, all of our wants, all of our perceived needs. My time, my day, it becomes all about doing whatever we want for whatever purpose we choose. And the problem with both of these is, ironically, the same thing. One way or another, they make the day all about us. Legalism takes the Sabbath day as a day to either crush us under its burden or act as a spiritual measuring rod. Look at how much I gave up for God. Look at how much I sacrificed for him. Look at how much I made myself uncomfortable for his sake. Look at how much I did, how much I made it about me. Likewise, self-indulgence obviously is all about us. It just doesn't have the religious mask that legalism puts on. How we are to rest on the Sabbath, the way that we truly set it aside for God's purposes, the way that we actually do that is by focusing first on the why of the Sabbath. Why should we rest? Why do we set it apart as holy? Why is it different from every other day? 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. You shall cease from it entirely, you and everybody else under your sphere of influence. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea that and all that is in them. The reason why we rest on the seventh day is because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Take a day off because the earth is the Lord's. 6 days we run around like crazy people trying to make sure that everything in the world works properly. We spend all of this time and energy attempting to make our world work through the jobs that we do, through the housework that we do. Take one day apart from the rest to remember that it isn't our world to begin with. Take one day a week to remember the fact that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. And that for every day since then, he has been sustaining it by his power. It is his world. You and I are just his field hands in it. So set apart one day out of seven to remember that fact, to consciously call it to mind, to consciously bring to mind the fact that in the midst of all of your labor, all of your running around, all of your trying to learn new things and produce new things, bring good things into the world, take one day to remember that in the midst of all of that, you're laboring in God's fields. For all of the planting that we do, for all of the tilling of the soil, for all of the caring of the plants, for all of the harvest that we hope to see, it's God who brings the growth. Take one day to remember that. And take one day to act in accordance with that. Take one day to do something a little bit different from the rest that'll help that reality sink down into your soul. I'm going to out myself a little bit here. One of the ways that I think is really helpful to do this is precisely to get outside. Go for a hike, as long as it's not snowing anymore. Go for a bike ride. Go for a walk through your neighborhood. And do so in a way where your eyes become open to the fact that this is God's world, that in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth. There are few things quite as humbling as walking through an old-growth forest and realizing just how small you really are. The purpose of places like Vineyard Mountain and Chiprós Park and Mary's Peak is to point us back to the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Those places may have come into existence through any number of geological environmental factors, but the reason why they're there, the purpose for their existence, is to remind us of this fact. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every square inch is His. So go up to a place that reminds you of that. Find a place where you can look out across the Willamette Valley and remember that for all of the hard work that I did this week, for all of the energy and the strife and the labor and the toil that I put into my career, into making life work, God is the one who makes the world work. Take a breather and remember that in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And likewise, notice how the passage doesn't end there. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day. God Himself rested on the seventh day. 6 days, we spend all of this time running around and trying to make our marks on the world. And if we aren't careful, that world can shape us in its image. You need a day to set aside specifically to being renewed in God's image. All throughout Scripture, we see this constant refrain. God set apart the Sabbath day as holy, so we should honor it as holy. God rested on the seventh day, so we should rest on the seventh day. God says, I am holy, so you also be holy. Set apart a day to be renewed in God's image. He rested. You can rest too. Set apart one day from the rest for the purpose of being restored in God's image, for the purpose of coming to worship, for the purpose of marinating in God's word and letting its truth sink down into your bones. Set apart one day from the rest for the purpose of coming together and enjoying fellowship with other like-minded believers, people who you see God in and who you want to be a little bit more like. Set apart one day from the rest for the sake of breaking bread with your brothers and sisters. Set apart one day from the rest to constantly go back to God in prayer over and over again. Remember the Sabbath day. Set it apart for God's purposes, for the purpose of being renewed and restored in His image. Set the Sabbath day apart as a chance to take Jesus up on His offer. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Set apart the Sabbath day as a day to respond to that, to go back to Him, to find rest. Set it apart as holy for God's purposes. And as you do so, over time, you may see a kind of surprising thing happen. Often when we think about holiness, we are concerned about keeping it separate from other things, as we should. Because all throughout the Bible, we see that one of the dangers of holy things is that they can become contaminated by common things. They can have common things mixed into them and then lose their unique and their special flavor. But there's also a promise to holy things, which is the potential that they can go out and spread their holiness around them, to infect the other things around them with a contagious holiness that spreads from the holy object into the common things around them. As Jesus carried out His ministry on earth, He very often would spend time eating with either flagrant sinners or religious hypocrites. And He did so in the hopes to see contagious holiness, to see His holiness rub off on and infect the people around Him in the best way possible. The purpose of remembering the Sabbath isn't just to have one day set apart from the rest and every other day remain normal. The idea of the Sabbath is to have one day set apart from the rest as a beachhead for the rest of the week, and to let this remembrance that we live in God's world, that he does the labor, that he brings all things to their rightful conclusion. We need that truth all throughout the rest of our weeks. And the Sabbath day is but a remembrance of that. A day set apart from the rest for the sake of building that into the rest of our weeks. So remember it. Set it apart as different from the rest, as unique to God's purposes. Set it apart as a holy day, created to remind you of whose world you live in, and created to restore you in the image of the God who made it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us a day to rest. Lord, we thank you for giving us a day to remember you, to be restored in your image, to be refreshed by the fact that we are not the ones who keep the world spinning, that you are. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to believe that more and more. Lord, help us to lay aside all of our burdens, all of our concerns, all of our worries. Help us to bring them to your feet, God. We know that you care. We know that you are concerned about them. Help us to entrust them to you, Lord. Help us to be renewed and refreshed in the grace of the rest that you offer. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us, for giving us rest in the midst of busy and hectic lives. Help us to use it well. Amen.